from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, welcome to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show post game. Knicks lost to the Indiana Pacers. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes could be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. And this performance by the Knicks, I like what they did, the effort for the most part tonight. Some of it was a lack of execution down the stretch. But I love the energy tonight better than what I saw last week versus the Miami Heat. Good win over the Brooklyn Nets on Monday. But tonight's game, it was a back and forth versus a playoff caliber team in the Indiana Pacers. But the Knicks just, they had a couple of mental lapses, some decisions I'm not quite keen on as far as how they executed down the stretch. And I think about 2 to 3 possessions cost this team the game tonight. And a game I didn't think the Knicks were going to win anyway. I thought Indiana was the better team. But, it's going to take one of these nights versus this type of caliber of team from a Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway Jr. shot excellent tonight. He was on the money. A lot of his shots were very, very efficient from 2, from 3. I know he kind of came down short down the stretch, but got to give him credit for the most part for three and a half quarters of good shooting, good basketball. But let's be real. At the end of the game, Victor Oladipo had his lunch. He had a couple of steals for a couple of breakaway dunks. And then coming off the screens versus Damian Dotson, he nailed that big three on the wing. And on top of that, when the shot clock was going down and Romanovich had shot the air ball, and however Miles Turner recovered the ball, found Victor Oladipo in the corner for the backbreaker three. And I think the big shots made by Victor Oladipo, it was kind of a quiet night for him until this fourth quarter. He showed up, and he really took over the game towards the end of the game. And won it for the Indiana Pacers, winning by 6, 107 to 101 over the Knicks. But like I said, the Knicks, I don't think this is one of those performances that they can hang their head on. I thought they played well. I thought the Knicks played well with this roster. They didn't quit like they did last week in Miami. I love the energy. It was a good back and forth game. Good game. Good quality of game. Just the lack of execution down the stretch with the Knicks is that could be worked on. I'll be like that. Let's just say it like that. It could be worked on. I think Oladipo, when it really mattered, got the crucial steals, a couple little breakaway dunks, the wing three, and of course that air ball recovered by Miles Turner. I think it was Thaddeus Young, one of those guys, and found Oladipo for that bat-breaking corner three by Oladipo. And I knew Oladipo went for 19 in the second half, held him to 5 in the first half, but you knew he was coming. And I think when it came to under 2 minutes, Oladipo had Hardaway Jr.'s lunch. Hardaway Jr. had a great game. Don't get me wrong. He had a phenomenal game tonight. Hardaway Jr. was phenomenal shooting the ball, but when it came down to under 2 minutes, it was all Oladipo over whether it's Dotson or Hardaway Jr., man. There's probably a couple things I do question from the head coach. Not to say I'm not going to kill him tonight, but this Lance Thomas business late in the fourth quarter. Lance Thomas has no business being in the game. Lonzo Trier should have been in the game. He should have been taking Lance Thomas's all his minutes. And I think that's where the shot selection, Lance Thomas in the corner missing that three, I think that was a crucial part of the game where Indiana went on that quick run. And it was a good back and forth game, but just little pieces here and there by the head coach just pulling the wrong trigger that I think lost the game for the Knicks. And I think they'll be fine. If the Knicks could play like this on most nights, they'll be fine. Indiana's a solid team. They're a playoff caliber team. When you get a guy like Kevin Knox back, and I think you get his dimension as far as going to the hole, I think the Knicks missed that a lot. early on, they shot a lot of jumpers. They started going to the rim a little bit more, and they got comfortable with the jump shot. But they got to go to the rim more, but that's a dimension Kevin Knox brings to the table. I like what I saw out of Vonleh. I liked kind of, Nikola Kina, he was fine, but a couple pull-up jumpers, he was shooting a little bit harder in the second half. But defensively, he did it. He held it down, but he allowed Oladipo get a lot right in front of the Knicks bench and nick that corner three. That was a bat breaker to this team. But I'm not mad at the effort. I mean, the effort overall was pretty good. They just needed to execute a couple of plays here and there, and this probably could have been a different outcome. I know it's kind of disappointing, but I like what I saw tonight way better than what I saw last week versus the Heat. Last week versus the Heat was a demoralizing loss, especially coming off the nice win versus Brooklyn on Monday as well. And one more thing, man, as far as Cantor, I know Cantor, he shortchanged at the rim tonight. He missed a couple of bunnies, looked at all out of whack, and he's talking about being an all-star for the Eastern Conference. You got to make layups, bro, if you want to make it to the all-star team, man. That was just terrible in the second half, just shortchanging layups and just look out of sync. And allowing Sabonis, whether it was Mitchell Robinson or Noah Vonleh or Enes Kanter, Sabonis went off the bench, but going for 30. That cannot happen. If you're talking Eastern Conference All-Star, you cannot allow Sabonis, who is a good player, but shoot pretty much perfect from the field, going for 30 off the bench. That I think he killed the Knicks in the paint alone, killed the Knicks. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, the Knicks lose by 6. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. Av, I'm kind of curious or anxious to hear your response. There's no such thing as a good loss, but I love the effort, and this is growing pains. And I think the Knicks, for the last couple of games, outside of the Golden State Warriors game, well, the Golden State Warriors, I thought they were toying with us. But I got to get your perspective, Av. What's going on, bro? How's everything?
Well, happy Halloween to you, Steve. Happy Halloween to the fellow stakeholders on the line and those listening, whether it's on BleedBlueShow.com, Tune in your Stitcher apps, iTunes, or Podcast Republic. Happy Halloween. I hope everyone had a safe holiday. Well, not exactly a holiday. I hope all your kids are all loaded with sugar, and you know your parents did the responsible thing and checked the candy, because it could be a bag of of really poor goods. And look, you know what? Tonight it was a good game. I mean, Hardaway had, almost had a career night. Some late game execution that that the Knicks are still lacking. That's why we're losing a lot of these close, crucial games. And it's the one thing that you kind of have to look at the coach about, because it's certain substitutions and certain plays that he's calling and setting it up. So, I get it. Fizz is also growing with us. But it is getting frustrating, and I mean, even the Golden State game, I really liked that game, because for 3.5 quarters the Knicks really hung in there with the defending world champions, and they were at full strength. The Knicks are not at full strength. You don't have Porzingis, you don't have Knox, and you're dealing with other injuries like Courtney Lee and so on and so forth. And I get it. So when you're seeing score, even though it was a lopsided score, 128-100 against the Golden State Warriors, you have to be happy to see, if you watched the game, that they were able to take it to the champs on last Friday night. The Brooklyn game, they did everything right. They did everything that they're supposed to do to a team like Brooklyn. They took care of the paint. They out-rebounded. They defended. They contested, a good 70, 80% of the shots, which is what you need to do in order to be a team that you're supposed to be, any team in the NBA. And tonight you saw a little bit of the same. I mean, they did that. There are some things that I still, kind of cringe at. My number one thing, and I was telling my buddy Dre about this, is that I cringe every time I see Mario Hezonja bring up the ball. I don't understand why you let him bring down the ball when he really doesn't have any handle. He doesn't have great court vision, and he fails to, to see, to, kind of work to possession like a standard point guard, or, a player who can create his own shot. Hezonja can't do that. There's at least a couple of times where he missed Hardaway, in the corner, or open around the wing. There are a couple of times where, you know, he missed on, you know, 2-on-1, 3-on-1 opportunities and kind of really slowed the pace down, became very methodical, let the opposition, let the Pacers tonight, you know, set up on defense tonight. So those are the things that I really noticed. But again, I mean, like you said, the Indiana Pacers, they're a playoff contending team. They're a solid team. They've been together for a couple of years now. You know, everybody kind of knows what their role is, as opposed to the Knicks. You really don't know, you know, who – I mean, all you know right now is that Tim Hardaway Jr. is the number one option on offense. Everything else is pretty much by committee or, you know, by the flip of a coin. So, you know, that's what I find, you know, a little frustrating, especially when the Knicks are, you know, fighting. They're giving you effort. They're giving you this, and the result is still a loss. Now, yeah, we all said the same thing. You know, if you give us effort, despite the win or loss, you know, we'll support you. And I'm still supporting the team. I am getting frustrated, you know, with this 2-6 record. When you look at the teams that we played against, you know, we should have beaten Brooklyn. You know, there was a game in Brooklyn we should have had. You know, we could have had the game in Milwaukee. There was no excuse for that game in Miami. And, you know, you can't beat the Warriors, but then they came back and finally beat Brooklyn. So they should be sitting at a much more different position than they should be. However, it's just late game execution and some stumbling decisions that Fizdale's making, especially with his substitutions, taking out certain players and keeping them out for too long. I think in the Golden State game, he left out Trey Burke a little bit too long, and instead of bringing him in around the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter, he brought him in around the 6.5, and by then Durant and Curry were already starting to feel themselves a little bit. Tonight, I agree with you. I don't see why Kurt Thomas still has, you know, that many minutes. Why he's starting, you know, in situations like that, I don't get it. But obviously there's something that's going on in practice that we're not seeing. I'm really excited and very satisfied by the emergence of Damian Dotson. Damian Dotson, to me, you know, everyone knows, if you go back to the archives, you know how much I felt about the, you know, when we drafted him, how much I feel that he was the better option than Frank Ntilikina in terms of the steal of the draft. But both guys have been, you know, so far this year, and what, you know, we're two and six in the first 8 games, have both shown that they've grown, they've developed, they've embraced their roles, and they're living up to a little bit more beyond their potential, if you would say. I like what Noah Vonleh brings. I know what I really like what Mitchell Robinson has been able to show us. You know, especially in that Brooklyn game, you know, with that emphatic dunk after getting posterized himself. And you know, that's it. I mean, tonight they should have won that game. I don't know what Vonleh and Hardaway were doing when that 3-pointer went for an air ball. That neither one of them moved for the ball. That if one of them secures the rebound, Oladipo does not get that ball back and hit that dagger three. So, growing pains. And it's one of those things that, you know, you would hope that they would be able to shore up by at least by game 10. You know, we're already, you know, we just played game 8, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of your points. Azonia, that's the right word. I cringe when I see him come up the court because he makes the awkward basketball play. That's the best way I could put it. He makes awkward plays, turnovers. He's in the wrong position trying to set guys up. It's like he's not a fit within the offense. So I agree with you on the word cringe. And here's the thing about tonight that I love the effort by the team, and I love the way that Hardaway Jr. shot well, but this is the thing that bothers me. I don't think Hardaway Jr. has this every night. And it's going to take shooting like this on an undermanned Knick team just to stay in it. Versus a good quality team. So as good or as well as Hardaway Jr.'s shot tonight, I'm not optimistic that he could bring this game in and game out in the NBA. He didn't do it last year. We'll see if he does it this year, but I don't believe that at all. Now, my thoughts on the Warrior game last Friday, I didn't even think the Knicks played well at all. I thought the Warriors were bored. I thought they just looked disengaged. just they were there just to dare until the fourth quarter, and that's when Kevin Durant went off. I mean, you saw a night where Klay Thompson could not buy a bucket. I mean, he was shooting. He just could not make shots. He made a couple here and there, but I thought the Warriors were bored until Kevin Durant said, you know what, I'll just take this over and, you know, send everybody on their merry way, and you got a lot of oohs and ahs from the crowd. But as far – this is why I slightly disagree with you. I don't think a lot of NBA fans around the league, including the stakeholders on this platform, give the Nets a lot of credit. I think the Nets play hard in general this season. I watched them a couple of games versus other teams. I seen them push New Orleans and Detroit's and even the Warriors coming back in the Warriors game on Sunday. I think the Nets play hard, and I can see why the Knicks and the Nets split too. I understand why you're saying they should have beat the Nets in Brooklyn. Was it game number two after the Hawk game? But the Milwaukee game, as well as Milwaukee's a monster. They are a very good team. Greek Freak is on an MVP caliber play right now, and I can't see the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks were down big in that game and they came back, but I didn't expect them to beat Milwaukee. The only game that really bothered me pretty much up in this, to this point, despite the 2-6 record, is last week when we did the, you know, after the Heat game. That's the only game that really bothered me. Tonight bothered me, but lack of execution, just a couple of mental lapses, just what it was. I had an issue with David Fizdale for the most part with Lance Thomas being there late in the game. Lonzo Trier has proven that he could play down the stretch, and there's no way Lance Thomas should have been in the game. And then there's one huge question I do have. Go back to your point of Damian Dotson. I'm really glad what he did tonight. He played well. He attacked. He shot well. He defended. Love what Damian Dotson brought to the table. Where is Trey Burke? Where is the Trey Burke we were getting out of Westchester last? If you can answer that real quick, and then we'll bring on other stakeholders. Because where is Trey Burke? Because I was assuming or expecting Trey Burke would be a more attack mode coming off the bench. What's your thoughts on that, Adam? And then we'll bring on other stakeholders.
Well, Trey Burke, if you notice, his minutes have diminished substantially now that that Fizdale kind of switched the lineup up and kind of made Neal Aquino the point guard. So, you know, his starting job kind of, you can tell, demoralized him, just like it did Cantor for like about a couple of days, and then he kind of embraced that role, and he's performed well off the bench. But Burke's a different animal because Burke is still trying to find his footing, and it seems like he's not meshing well with the second unit. He's kind of one of those guys that needs to start, and it's just so he can get to get into the mode of the game. He has disappeared. I mean, he's still doing some of the little things, like he's still getting assists. He's still setting up the offense, you know, pretty decently. But because his minutes has diminished. And probably, a little bit demoralized to the fact that he's no longer starting. They're keeping with Fizz is sticking with Neal Aquino at the point guard, which has kind of worked out, even though it's against everything that we say, because we would all agree Neal Aquino is better at the two than he is at the one. But because he's assumed that role for the time being, I think that Burke has to, need some time to adjust coming off the bench at this point. And at the same time, remember, now Ron Baker's getting a couple, some more minutes. Dotson's getting more minutes. Hardaway played 37, 38 minutes tonight. So it's just a matter of, Fizz is going with the hot hand a little bit. But I think that he needs to kind of, remotivate him, because especially before Moutier gets back, because once Moutier gets back, then I think that Burke's minutes are going to become very much in jeopardy, going forward. But that has something to do with it. I think he's a little bit disappointed that he's no longer the starter.
Yeah, man. That's really disappointing to see, man. As much as he was in attack mode last season and coming off the bench now, it's just totally different player, man, just night and day. And maybe that has a lot to do with it, but being a professional, he's got to step up, man. We need him. I know he made a nice corner jumper in the fourth quarter on a turnaround, but there was another shot he had took, and I remember Corey Joseph blocking it. Good play by Corey Joseph, by the way. But Knicks lose to the Indiana Pacers. Chandler, Knight Chandler 7, man. Let's get him into the conversation, get his thoughts. What's his thoughts on the game, the players, how they performed? Chandler, what's going on, bro? How's everything?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? You know, I don't want to see Lance Thomas on the court in the last 5 minutes of a game either, but this is the fault of Mario Hezonja, who won't shoot the damn ball, and that's what he was brought here to do. And I hope you're sitting down for this, but the Knicks need Courtney Lee, and you've never heard me say those words. Because they don't have anybody who will shoot the ball, who is a threat to
oxygen.
Shoot the ball.
I need oxygen. I need oxygen.
You know what I'm saying?
Chandler said we need Courtney Lee.
Listen, if you're not going to put Trier on the floor, and Fizdale obviously likes big guards, which is why I think he's not playing Trey Burke, then who's going to be on the floor in place of Lance Thomas? Hezonja won't shoot. He thinks he's Magic Johnson and he's a terrible passer, so you can't put him on the floor. You can't put Ron Baker on the floor. Mitchell Robinson can't be on the floor because he can't shoot, you know. So who's left? If Courtney Lee was available, I think Courtney Lee would have been getting those minutes because somebody has to shoot besides Hardaway. And that's why Lance Thomas, I think, was on the floor because there's no options. I think Fizdale doesn't like small guards. And I think that's why Trey Burke – and I think Trey Burke knows that he doesn't have the confidence of his coach and it's affecting him. The Vonleh that we're seeing is the Vonleh I haven't seen since college. I haven't seen this dude since college. I like what I'm seeing out of him. I like what I'm getting out of a lot of guys. We talked about Dotson last year, and all of us said Dotson needs to play, and he's playing, and we're seeing what we're getting out of him. But until the Knicks get somebody else who can shoot the ball consistently, on that wing, I think this is what we're going to see going down the stretch. He's going to be plugging guys in. Why he wouldn't put Trier in tonight, I don't know, because they needed points. But outside of that, it was a good game. Yeah, I like the effort, and I like what's been going on the entire season. That's kind of I wanted to see, you know, like 2 weeks' worth of games before I really said anything. I mean, Ron Baker's useless. I don't know why people are in love with Lance Thomas. I don't see a use for Lance Thomas here, especially since he can't hit an open jump shot. But until we get another guy who can consistently hit a jump shot and is willing to take the shot, we're going to see a lot of games like this where it's close games and it's going to come down to making shots. And I don't know if we have enough people to make shots.
I think the answer is Trier. I think we all have the answer. Alonzo Trier, I believe, could fit the bill. Av, what do you think Chandler's points? And if you want to ask Chandler a question, go back to him. What his points as far as what he thoughts is on Vonleh and substituting for Lance Thomas. I think the answer is Alonzo Trier, clearly, for me. How about you, Av, if you want to respond to Chandler and go back to Chandler after that?
To me, it's Alonzo Trier or it's Trey Burke. And, you know, you can have both those guys on the floor. Why didn't, you know, why doesn't Fizdale use that a little bit more? I believe that Chandler has a point. He probably doesn't like small guards. He's probably, you know, a little bit more closer to the Phil Jackson philosophy than we thought initially, but I think that's kind of, you know, what's going on. Also, it could be just a defensive situation because, you know, Thomas can defend. I mean, he's not superb, but he's serviceable. You got Neal Aquina, he can defend. You got Hardaway, who can defend when he wants. You're starting Mitchell Robinson most of the time, and you know, he's a long body. So I can understand this, you know, the dynamic. But when you're not trying to defend anymore, you're trying to get buckets, I'm going with Chandler on this one and say, why don't you put Alonzo Trier in? Why don't you put in Trey Burke in? Why don't you, you know, create the matches and let you, the Knicks, since you're on your home court and you have your fans in front of you, why don't you dictate the pace instead of you playing up to theirs? You know, make them react to you instead of you just constantly react to them. And I think that's part of the growing pains that you alluded to, Steve. And that's, you know, that we're kind of have to go with that, you know, Fizdale's right now, he seems like he's reacting instead of being proactive. And that's what excellent coaching, you know, would arise. And that's how most of these coaches have been able to outwit Fizdale, you know, so far in the season.
And Chandler, anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, I totally agree. And yeah, I would have loved to see Trier. I was sitting here saying, while I'm watching, like, why isn't Trier, why is Lance Towns, why isn't Trier on the court? I knew he wouldn't put Burke on the court with the lineup that the Pacers had. Like you said, Ab, he's reacting. I don't know what would he – like I said, I don't think he likes small guards. Why he wouldn't put Trier on there, I think it was, like you said, Steve, I think it was a reaction to the lineup that the Pacers had, because the Pacers had pretty much a big lineup out there. You had Young, you had Oladipo, you had Sabonis, you had – what was it, Turner and I think Evans. That's kind of their big lineup. So he reacted instead of making them adjust. I'm not a fan of that, but until – honestly, I got to see Courtney Lee in this rotation, because I think Courtney Lee gets Trey Burke's minutes when he's healthy. And I think – God, I hate saying this. I think it will actually help this team.
Yeah. I'm with you guys, man. I thought Trier should have been in about a couple of minutes earlier in front of Lance Thomas's minutes. And if we're going to see development and we're going to see guys finish off games down the stretch – Trier is another guy who plays a control. He has a good, smooth control game, meaning he can shoot the ball with confidence. He's not a pure. He's not just a jump shooter. He will go to the rim. You saw him make a reverse layup. He'll go into the paint. He'll deke. He'll pump fake. He'll make the guys miss. He'll go up and underneath for layups. He'll make the jump pass and find like a Hardaway Jr. in the corner. He's a good complement to Hardaway Jr. because the thing is about tonight is, like I said earlier, and I've said it for like a season and a half, like Hardaway Jr., as great as he shot tonight, this was a great shooting performance tonight for Tim Hardaway Jr. He's not going to have this every night. And when you play other teams and he doesn't have it, who's your other options on offense? To me, it has to be Trier until Kevin Knox gets acclimated into the offense, acclimated into the system. It's going to take a while for him once he gets his legs under him to get back into game shape or NBA ready shape to compete. So to me, Alonzo Trier fits the bill as far as somewhat of a running mate to help be the assistant or the other scorer outside of Tim Hardaway Jr. Because it seems like Tim Hardaway Jr. could not miss tonight, but I don't see that happening every night. And Alonzo Trier, to me, and I watched him in college, and I told you he has this in him. He could play, man. The guy is an excellent guard. He has a good IQ for the game. He knows when to take the right shot, when not to take the shot. There's nothing wrong. If Hezonja is the cringe, Trier's the non-cringe. I haven't seen Trier since college up until this point as a pro where I said, damn, that was a stupid basketball player. I have not seen that out of Trier at Arizona or even up to this point as a New York Knick. And it goes to the other point as far as Dotson loved his effort. He attacked. He shot well. He shot with confidence. We didn't even see some of that in some of the summer league this summer. And going back to Vonleh, man, I love his energy, man. He's attacking onto some of this stuff. He can't go left, and he'll lean with that forearm, and he'll draw an offensive foul here and there. But he's going to go to the rim, man, and he can shoot a couple of free throws too. So it's not like he's a liability at the line, Av. You know what I'm saying? So this is one of those games that if even in a loss, I'm not going to go crazy. But the thing is, I would rather have seen a different lineup down the stretch and see how that would have performed versus what we saw about up until 4 or 5 minutes left. And then he reacted a little bit too late. You know what I'm saying, Av?
I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm gonna add one more thing to it. This is where I think that Trey Burke or Alonzo Trier would have fit in better with the lineup, and would have probably turned this game around, because like you both said, they'll attack, they'll get into they'll go to the rim, they both are capable of hitting a jump shot, and they have a good inside out game. But the key piece of that is that they can draw fouls. And with that, they'll get to the line. I mean, if you can slow the game down, due to fouls and get – I mean, the Pacers didn't have a team foul in the fourth quarter, which is astounding to me. That's because the Knicks, became a complete jump-shooting team. Mm-hmm. They were if those two guys, I guarantee you, if any one of those two guys or both were in the game, we could have gotten to the bonus a little bit sooner or at all. You can trust the ball in either one of those guys, because both those guys are decent enough free throw shooters. that could have changed the whole outcome of the game had you had somebody else other than, like you guys said, other than Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, drawn being the focal point of the offense. You know, Dotson did a little bit here and there, and Vonleh did a little bit thing here and there. But if you had another somebody else who can attack and draw contact and get those calls, which is another, you know, big piece to this, because there have been a number of games where refs have just like missing calls here, and that's why Fizz got that technical foul the other day. But it's stuff like that. That you know, eventually, if you go to the rim enough times, the refs are going to give you those calls, and you can get to the line, and those are easy buckets, you know, and that could be the difference between losing by five or six to winning by two or three. And I mean, that's what it comes down to, really, wins and losses. I mean, yes, it's growing pains, and you know, we're happy with the effort, but how about we playing a little bit more smarter, Fizz, and stop reacting. Putting, you know, be proactive, get these guys in there who can attack the rim and try to get some of these calls and try to win the game at the line.
Hey, I think through Fizdale's glasses, he probably thought Kevin Knox was in the game. And he's like, he took one wipe on his glasses. Oh, shoot, that's Lance Thomas. Let me get Trier in there. He probably thought it was Kevin Knox in there for a little bit. So
could be.
Because I'm thinking that, like, why is he in the game? Lance Thomas looks all out of whack. I mean, good. He's been a good Nick, you know, since he came over, 10-day contract. But this isn't really about his time, and this is really about these young guys. And I thought about this, too, because I know we talked about the whole time in the offseason. Like, this roster is former first-round bust, if you want to call it. You even could go back to 2012. We got a lot of guys since those draft picks on this roster. This is where I said, yo, we could build with this. Don't take no shortcuts. You could get some of these guys to play and mesh and go through the season and go through these growing pains, man. Like I said, I think if we get a guy like Kevin Knox, get him some, you know, wind under his legs and get him in some crunch time situations, maybe we have a little different outcome. You have a guy who's bigger, could go to the rim, but he brings no defense to the table. But, you know, this three-guard lineup. See, let me ask you this question, Adam. I'm going to go to Chandler first. Because, Av, you said he doesn't like the small guards, but why go to a three-guard lineup if you don't like small guards? That's the part I'm not really comprehending. Chandler, if you want to answer that, and then we could go to Av. Like, the question is, why go to a three-guard lineup when you don't? If he apparently doesn't like small guards?
Because I think he thought the third guard would be Moutier. That's the only answer I got is I don't think Trey Burke fits. And what he wants to do. And when you go three guards, you go who? You're going to go Ntilikina, Hardaway, and that third guy is going to be either Moutier or is going to be Trier. And apparently he don't trust Trier enough, so he went Lance Thomas instead. But I think that third guy is going to be Moutier. And if you in theory, that sounds really good. You got three long guys and all of that, but I'm not sure about Moutier. You know that. But I think that's where the three-guard thing comes in, and he's just – filling somebody in right now until he gets Moutier back.
Ab, what about your thoughts on my question on that?
I don't like the answer that Chandler gave because it makes the most sense. Because I think that's exactly what's going on with Fizdale. You know, I think he sees Moutier as a huge long-term project, and he's going to turn this kid into, you know, whether it costs him his job or anything, he's going to make this kid – you know, everything, you know, that his draft, pre-draft analysis was. And I think that's what it is. Why go to a three-guard lineup? In theory, you go to a three-guard lineup because you want to get, you know, you want to get faster, you want to get quicker, and you want to add more shooters. But why does he do that if you're not trusting, you know, Burke and Trier as much? Makes no sense. I think for the time being, while Moutier is still out, is that he's trying to fit in Ron Baker, and you know, just like you said, Steve, you know, the fans love him. For some reason, the fans love Ron Baker. I'm not the hugest fan of him, especially since he got that crazy contract. And I feel that, you know, he doesn't really necessarily fit, but for some reason, the fans and Fizdale, you know, want to get him into the lineup. Maybe it's a Steve Mills decision. Maybe it's one of those things that he told him. So, look, I want Ron Baker to be more showcased rather than Trey Burke, rather than this guy. And Fizdale wants to put in Moody, and so, you know, these guys have their own personal pet projects, and they're willing to, you know, to sacrifice games. And since we all know Fizdale's history, he's willing to sacrifice games in to prove a point. And right now for Fizdale is that he feels that Emmanuel Mudiay is going to be the second coming of what, I don't know, Scottie Pippen or something or whatever. I don't know, but I don't see the fascination with either one of those guys. Never did. And, you know, they're just two players. You know, one is more scrappier than the other, obviously, in Baker. And Mudiay he's been hot garbage since the draft. So I don't understand it.
Here's the rationale with Baker. I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but here's the thing about Baker. What Baker does bring to the table is he slows down the other team's offense or setting up to get into the office. So he's going to, at minimum, three quarters court. So when the guy inbounds the ball, he's going to press up on the guard. He's going to make that guard work to get past half court with the 8 second violation. He's going to harass. He plays with effort on defense, and I think Fizdale likes that. And that comes from that Miami Heat culture because they've done that for years. They did that with Josh Richardson. Even before that, they've done that with Chalmers, guys like that. So a guy who's going to be a pest. They might not be the talent-wise, not be the best of players, but what Ron Baker does do is disrupt your offense, putting him on the lead guard and setting him the offense. Now, like I said, the game is not the end of the world. I love what they did against Brooklyn. They should have done that in game number two in Brooklyn, but the effort, they started off slow in Brooklyn in game number two, but on Monday night, this past Monday night, I love the effort. The effort's there. It was just a lack of execution tonight, and then the head coach had a mental lapse with Lance Thomas. That really just did not make no sense. And I don't want to lose track of this, Chandler. Let me ask you this about Mitchell Robinson. Is there any way we could get this guy some easy hoops to keep him involved in the game? I thought tonight he may not have had a lot of block shots, but as far as there's a stat or an analytic stat as far as not deflections, but changing the shots. He did a lot of that in the second quarter. But we got to get him. It seems like he's disengaged a lot. I know he's going up against Miles Turner, but I would like to see him find a way to get him involved, get him some easy dunks or so he could get more acclimated defensively. What's your thoughts on Mitchell Robinson tonight or even Monday or even up until this point this season? Back to Adam to get other stakeholders on.
I like what they're doing. I like what Mitchell Robinson is doing, but he's limited in the fact that we don't have point guards that are good at feeding the post. Some of those passes they made to him tonight were awful. They were awful passes. Trying to throw lobs that are getting picked off because they're not high enough. And he doesn't have any moves at all. So it's hard, I think, for him to stay engaged all the time because, you know, you got to feed the big man. You know, if he's running and playing defense like that and altering shots and all that, you got to let him touch the ball. And he went large stretches where he didn't touch the ball unless he was trying to rebound or to block a shot. And I think that's a function of we have guards that can't feed the post that don't really know how to use him yet. And I think that's why it looks like he's not engaged. I think it's more a function of the fact that we got guards that don't know how to pass to him right now because they're not used to playing with a guy like him.
That is true because you think about it, running the point, Ntilikina, the passes are awkward and he got him out of position. I thought that's something that Indiana destroyed us with us tonight because Tyreke Evans coming off the bench, and I think he had a suspension coming off the bench. Him and Sabonis had it going on with that pick and roll. The Knicks couldn't do nothing against it. Ad, what about you? What's your thoughts on Mitchell Robinson to get other stakeholders after that?
I love what Robinson brings. I mean, I still think that he could be, you know, by season's end, he can be the definitive steal of this past year's draft. But I think it's exactly what Chandler said. They need to get him, you know, get him some reps. And I don't know what's going on with the point guards that they don't know how to feed down in the post because that's kind of like the first thing you learn. Maybe this is my old fucking part of my language. My whole crazy theory is that that's kind of like the first thing you learn how to do is, you know, feed the big man. And But because of the way today's NBA runs, you know, it's three or die pretty much, you know, lay out on the perimeter. So they basically just keep out four guys out there and tell Mitchell, disrupt anybody that comes in, and if the ball comes to you, grab it and pass it back out. That's kind of what it is. And I think it's a mentality of just how the NBA is running. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't like it. They need to figure a way to get him involved so that way he can develop that confidence in establishing himself as a big man in this league. He's capable of doing so. I mean, if anybody's seen that McDonald's All-American game, he's capable of posting guys up, and especially if you have him and Vonleh on there, because Vonleh likes to post up every now and then. Now you have kind of like I'm making this comparison to compare them as they are, but you can have an Oakley Mason, you know, or Ewing Mason kind of situation where you have two guys down low, and then you have your shooters, and now you have threats, you know, all around the court, but they're not running that. Fizz wants to do, wants to run up and down and, you know, stick to the threes and keep on feeding Hardaway and all your other shooters. Obviously, you're eventually going to lose that way, and it's going to kill you if you don't establish some kind of an inside game. And Robinson is ideal. Heck, even if we're still playing with the idea that Lance Thomas is there, you can figure a way to get Lance Thomas to become some kind of a post threat, and then that will open up your shooters. But no one's thinking that way anymore. And I think the biggest reason why Fizdale was hired, which, you know, according to my best buddy Dre, who was definitely against it, and so was I to a certain degree, but he's today's style NBA. You know, just like how all the managers in baseball are all analytics, you know, today's NBA is all up and down and threes and lighting up the scoreboard. You have to do it, you have to put in some of the old-fashioned work in and feed the big fella. That's just how I've always looked at it. We strayed away from that, and I don't
you
like
know what it kind of reminds me of a little bit, though, Av? I have a quick question, then we're going to bring on Mr. Live. Let me ask you this. Not even asking him. Mitchell Robinson kind of reminds me of kind of how Clint Capella first came onto the scene. And he was kind of disengaged at first, but what they have is James Harden could get into the paint, throw those oops, and he's a more accurate passer. He'll get you 8-9 assists a game because you got Clint Capella rolling to the hoop and catching oops. Why not? So is it a good idea to keep Mitchell Robinson in the starting lineup or put him in coming off the bench and run with a Trey Burke and get them both involved and get them more of a dual threat? So basically my question is, before we bring on Mr. Lye, is Mitchell Robinson starting the best of idea, or is it probably better and they're both benefit of having Trey Burke and Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench? Because I think they could probably work better off each other. What's your thoughts on that?
It would probably work better that way, because I think that you would have the perfect combination of a slasher guard plus a big man who can be a very, you know, serviceable garbage man, you know, per se. But then if you take Mitchell Robinson out of the starting lineup, then who are you faced with? Are you starting Lance Thomas at the center?
Cantor.
I think Cantor works really well now as coming off the bench. To be honest with you, I like him off the bench. So if you do that, then your starting rotation is going to feature Hinzonja, or is going to feature, you know, another awkward-looking three-guard lineup, or almost a four-guard lineup, and then with a big man who's not really a big man, a very small big man.
Right,
you
right.
might end up with Ryan
right,
Thomas.
Right.
You might end up with, like, I don't know, Isaiah Hicks or something like that. I mean, that's kind of like what you're faced with. I mean, yeah, you could always put Cantor in the starting lineup, but I like his energy coming off the bench because he really fortifies that second unit. So you really just now have to, you know, face the fact that the starting lineup, as good as it has been good, is that it does need something else. And since you have Robinson there, you should utilize him as a decent post presence. If not, then put in Vonleh.
All right. All right, let's go to Mr. Live. Mr. Live, Knicks lose to the Pacers by 6. Your thoughts on the game, all the players that played, the rotations, the whole shebang, man. Bro, what's going on? How's everything?
Everything good, people, man. Well, what was good with everybody, man? So let's go back to what Ab was saying about, you know, Cantor coming off, Cantor starting or whatever, or keeping Mitchell Robinson in, whatever the case may be. I think it was the Mitchell Robinson thing that came first. If you look at that, that's a microcosm of what's wrong with this team today. You know, it's you have 3-point guards who can't get anybody the ball. So it don't matter who in there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's absolutely positively don't matter who's that point guard. None of them can utilize any of the forwards. You understand what I'm saying? Cantor, for the most part, Cantor is a pick-and-roll forward/center. You can see by Mitchell Robinson's moves that he's better on the pick and roll, and he needs the pick and roll, like something like a DeAndre Jordan, you know what I'm saying, or a Capella, you know, because they don't have a post game, they don't have a low post game, they don't have a healthy mid range, so these guys have to get somebody like a Harden, like a Chris Paul, to get them the ball in certain positions, a bounce pass on the pick and roll. Because you've seen the Lobs getting, like Mitchell Robinson got felt on one, and they didn't give it to him. You understand what I'm saying? So it don't even matter. Now, you know what I'm saying? Again, the same deal with the point guard position is the same deal with the forward position. It's you can't even afford, like right now, you look at the lineup of Longley and Mitchell Robinson, that's the best defensive team we have as far as the forward position is concerned. You know, so, you know what I'm saying, as far as the front court is concerned. You understand what I'm saying? You can't start Hazonia. Hazonia is, he's rice paper. You know what I'm saying? Like he's horrible on defense. So, you know, but you got to, the dilemma with him is that he needs minutes for him to get comfortable in you know, because he's a point forward kind of situation. So our dilemma is the same at almost every position. We don't have the right people to get people put in the right situation. Frank is not a push guy, and he's not an aggressive scorer. So he's as bad as everybody else as far as he's not a facilitator per se. I don't know how that is at the point guard position, but he's not. He's not a high assist guy. You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't penetrate. And again, the couple of assists he got in the paint today was an anomaly. You know, we've never seen that from him. You understand what I'm saying? So, again, we're talking about him growing, man. But, you know, I know people on Glee Blue know that. You know what I'm saying? If we were speaking candidly about Frank is 2 years away from being 2 years away. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not that guy. He's, you know what I'm saying? He's just not consistent enough. So, Mitchell Robinson today is my favorite player. But in the offseason, we need a point guard. Like because we got athletes. You know what I'm saying? We can even keep Noah and Mario, you know what I'm saying, at the expense of, like, we need a point guard. And like, badly. That's what we need. We don't have anybody to get us in the positions, you know, to utilize the athleticism we have now. We don't have any point guard play at all. Like, at no penetration, you know, Burke is coming off the bench, and I believe it's affecting him because he's not playing the way he's not attacking. You know what I'm saying? And I think more so the emergence of Trier is actually slowing that penetration down, because you can't have two slashes, you can't have two ISO players and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't want to take away from the game, man. It was a really good game and a really hard fought game. But, you know, again, the pick and roll, man. I mean, Sabonis got 30 on pick and rolls. He had a jump. I don't name me one jump shot. He you know what I'm saying? He had. Everything was in the paint. If I, you know what I'm saying, I'm on the computer now. You know what I'm saying? When I go over, I bet you every shot that Sabonis hit was in the paint. Mm-hmm. And that was off of Tampa, okay? And that was off of you know, or, you know, I'm going to kill these cats in this one blog. They called, they'll say, last year Frank was supposed to be the best pick and roll defender in the league. You know, now I understand the freedom of movement rule is in effect, but everybody was getting killed on that pick and roll. No recovery whatsoever. None, except for Mitchell Robinson. You know what I'm saying? To your point, Steve, except, you know what I'm saying, when that first and third, Mitchell Robinson and Vonleh was changing shots and stopping all that penetration. Okay, soon as Sabonis get in, who come in now? You know what I'm saying? It was like Fizdale was playing the Euro game. He's, you know, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You let this guy Sabonis come in and have a career day on you. Come on, man. You know, like, we, you know, it was a little coaching thing there too, man. But that pick and roll is what killed us tonight, man. That pick and roll was our downfall, and we was lucky, man, because I mean, all the people put the dag in us anyway. But like, we had a shot, man. We had a shot. We just we didn't have the like, you know, I think somebody just said it. You know what I'm saying? Play execution, couldn't get people the ball at the right moments. You know what I'm saying? And it was a good game though. So yeah. That's me, y'all.
All right, shout out to Mr. Lott. Chandler, anything else you'd like to add? Because Mr. Lott brought up a lot of great points. I mean, Indiana had too many easy shots in the paint. But Tyreke Evans and Sabonis, they really worked that pick and roll to perfection, to a clinic. And a lot of teams don't have like a guy like Sabonis who could get to the rim like that. He has good control, good body placement, and he has a good soft touch. And that's one of the liabilities. That's one of the risks you had tonight. I know, Av, you favor Cancer coming off the bench, but tonight was one of those matchups that just didn't work in our favor, because I don't think Sabonis fears Cancer rolling to the basket, where Mitchell Robinson probably could alter a couple of shots, maybe make him think twice. But Chandler, what's your thoughts as far as what Mr. Live said, Av said? Any things that we have not even brought up that you'd like to bring to the table, and then we'll go back to Av?
I mean, yeah, he was absolutely right with Sabonis. And I mean, you guys know that I root for him, because I rooted for his father. So I'm happy for the kid, because I don't think people talk about him enough. He's a really good player, but that was ridiculous tonight. And no, he didn't make a shot outside of 6 feet. He did not take one shot outside of 6 feet. And that's why Cantor's got to come off the bench, because Cantor sucks right now defensively. But that pick and roll defense tonight, it seemed like the only guy even chasing was Frank. The rest of the guys were like, yeah, I'm really not trying to fight through that. I'm really not trying to go through that. And well, late in the game, huh?
I said him and Dotson was fighting through that.
Yeah. Absolutely did. And late in the game, why do you not have Robinson or out there with Vonleh? And again, it's a thing where Fizdale was reacting to them instead of making the match up with us. Because to me, the last, say, from 8 minutes to 4 minutes, I got to have Mitchell Robinson and Vonleh on the court. I got to have them both on the court. And I got to say, yeah, I get that Robinson might not be scoring, but he's giving me enough on defense that it negates the fact that he might not give me any points. You know, you rolling Cantor out there, his defense is outweighing whatever points he's giving you, and he had a bad night shooting. And then you rolled Lance Thomas out there, who's a total negative. So, yeah, it killed us on that, simply because the matchups didn't work in our favor, and we kept allowing them to dictate what they were going to do with it. I mean, they got to the point where, you know, with Sabonis, you know what's going to happen. They want to go down. They're going to swing it from one side. They're going to run pick and roll. Sabonis going to roll to the basket. It was going to be a foul, and he was going to make the shot.
All right. Mr. Lott, anything else you'd like to add before we go back to Av? And then Av's going to have a lot to say, anything else he wants to say. But Mr. Lott, if you want to add on to what Chandler just said.
Yeah, I mean, just like Chandler said, man, nobody. It felt like nobody wanted to rock with that pick and roll. You know what I'm saying? And really, again, it was only a two-four pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't go past that. Like again, Chandler, like he described it perfectly. You know, it was, we gonna run around until we find the right mismatch, and that's old school ball. That's Nate McMillan though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't see that anymore. Like, anymore, we gonna play the mismatch. Okay, so like they played that to the T. They had Frank in the paint. They had Burke in the paint. They, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know, when the switch came, you know what I'm saying? Thaddeus Young posted everybody who came his way. You know what I'm saying? Hardaway got another busted lip, I think, off of one of them plays. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, as much as I thought Fizz was going to come down and bring some old school, kind of like Riley-esque Nick Law, he's not. And defensively, he's you know, with his substitutions and I know it's early, you know what I'm saying, so I'm sorry to be so critical, but like his substitutions are horrible, you know, and the defense that I thought he was gonna bring, like that really Riley type old Knicks, what Miami is still running today, it's not here. No, you know, now I don't want to say that, like, the effort is not there, but it's just like really simplistic matchups are not being accommodated. Again, to Chandler's point, why is Mitchell Robinson not in the game? Why are you running a four guard situation when you got a Vita Sabonis' son hitting a 30 on you? When I think the man might be averaging like this year, if that. You know what I'm saying? So it to me, it don't make no sense. You know, so again, I'm going to go back to what I think I said at the beginning of the season. They rolling out the tank. He's just doing it real clever. Okay, because there's no reason why Lance Thomas should be out there. You know what I'm saying? Again, we've seen a different Lance in preseason. And, you know, so, like, but now it's like he's almost throwing the game for him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's making these dumbass excuse my language. It's just, he's horrible, and I don't know why, you know, but I know why too, because Mario sucked too. It's like we don't, you know, again, man, Troy Williams was a bad let go. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't understand that, but like him, Moutier, none of these guys are defensive guys, and Frank is not looking like a defensive stopper. He'll pick your pocket in the lane, you know, and he'll help keep a conducive team defense. All right, but Corey is blowing by him. Like, you know, everybody is blowing by him this year. He's not touching anybody. He's not sticking to anybody. So, yeah, that's it for me, man. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. Anything else you would like to add to the dialogue that we have not said, or anything you want to go off of what Chandler and Mr. Live said, and then we'll go around for final thoughts after I speak.
Well, I'm going to bring back something that has not been said in quite some time. Steve, I'm bringing back hashtag Knicks inflate. Obviously, Sabonis was the inflate, because just like Mr. Live and Chandler both pointed out, homie averages like 10 points a game, And he dropped 30. And by doing the simplistic thing of running the 2-5, 2-3, 2-4 pick and roll and getting into the paint and working on those mismatches. Because, I mean, not saying Sabonis is not a great player, is not a good player. He obviously is. He comes from, you know, we all know, you know, how good his dad was. So we know this guy came, you know, comes to play, and he's done a pretty good job. But coming to the guard tonight, dropping 30 and just basically, you know, stealing lunch money from both Mitchell Robinson, Noah Vonleh, and Enes Kanter tonight. He's definitely my winner for Knicks inflate tonight. It just goes back to the same thing. Fizz is just getting out coached, you know, by reacting instead of being proactive and dictating the pace, especially when that's one of the huge big pieces. Of his lip service. You know, we're going to take the tempo. We're going to set the tempo. We're going to get up and down. We're going to make teams react to us. It's like, hey, I know that we're only 7-8 games in, But this is the nonsense that you were spewing all throughout the offseason and in every freaking press conference post game, is that we couldn't get up and down. It's like, dude, that's exactly what you said you were going to do when we got here. And it's not like you don't have the personnel. Sure, you don't have the talent, to pull off some of these games. That will give you. But you have the personnel. You have enough young legs to get up and down the court and make teams react to you. You have enough guys out there for you to go big when the other team is going small and have them react to you so they get them off of their game. The biggest reason why we're losing, besides the late game execution, is simply that. The teams that are coming in, our opposition, is being able to play their style of game, their style of basketball, and Fizdale is basically lost in the sauce. Now I'll give him that. That this is his first year with this team. This is his real first head coaching job since, considering that Memphis, we want to overlook it. So we'll give him that. But the reality is that, dude, you have enough coaching pedigree. You've been groomed for this position for so long. When you were in Atlanta, when you were in Miami, when you had your little stint in Memphis, and now you're here. You have the guys. Why aren't you utilizing them? You have a Mitchell Robinson. You have a Noah Vonleh. You have an Enes Kanter for you to put up a big lineup so that way the opposition reacts to you. And then you have a Trey Burke. You have an Alonzo Trier. You even have a Courtney Lee somewhere and possibly a Ron Baker to go small. So you can play the mismatches so that the opposition can combat you. Unfortunately, he does not have the talent, because pretty much the only talent he has is Tim Hardaway Jr. since Porzingis is out, and then the occasional Damian Dotson night or the once in a blue moon Alonzo Trier night, and whenever Trey Burke gets his head out of his ass that night. So far, Fizz seems, and I swear to God, I'm going to go nuts the night that Moutier finally, gives us a great performance. But until then, I mean, Fizdale just needs to stop reacting and start being proactive. Yes, you have to react to certain situations, especially when you're playing, a team like a Golden State Warriors or maybe like a Milwaukee Bucks. Or Houston Rockets, or some of the elite caliber teams in the NBA. That's a different situation. But when you're playing against the Indiana Pacers, or the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, coming up in a couple of days, or like a New Orleans, or any of those other teams, he has to be able to come up with a plan to execute and stick to it, instead of reacting so much to the point where that. The way he's reacting, that's how the players are reacting. He needs to start leading by example, because they're not reacting quick enough to defensive mismatches. They're not helping out on that pick and roll. They're not learning, to close out, for assisted defense. And just like tonight, they're not, getting back, to clean the glass, because I really feel – that Tim Hardaway Jr. or Noah Vonleh could have had that rebound tonight before Oladipo got his hands on it and put the dagger three tonight.
All right. Let me say this real quick, and then we'll go around for final thoughts. And I wish DeNardo DP had joined the dialogue tonight, because this was prime example what I was trying to explain to him offline. And to fill you guys in, and I'll address it again when we have him on. He's a firm believer of NBA is in the direction of just offense all day, offense all night, score 110 points, the offense is going to win the games. But tonight was case in point of my point being proven, no matter how much offense you do have, at the end of the day, defensive stops are going to win you the game. And you got to have defensive stops to win you the game. And the Knicks didn't have the defensive stop. They lost track of the rebound attempt. And they found Oladipo in the corner with Frank chasing him in the corner. That was a dagger three. Or even I'll even go back to the Oladipo steals and a couple breakaway dunks. And as well as Hardaway Jr. played tonight, he got outplayed in just a couple of minutes, just a blip of a game that really sealed the deal. With Oladipo outplayed Hardaway in just a quick couple of minutes that really was the difference in the game and just defensively. Defensively, Oladipo locked down. He stole a couple of balls, easy transition baskets. That still wins at the end of the day. You could even go back to last night's game in Toronto, as well as Philadelphia played and how many points they did score. When it was all said and done, Kawhi Leonard locked up Ben Simmons. I know Kawhi Leonard's an elite defensive player, but same thing with Oladipo. He's an elite defender in this league. You're going to get, if you get defensive stops, no matter how many points you score, you get a guy who could defend and lock down defensive rebounds or strips. He put the clamps on Ben Simmons last night. Now is my whole point is I don't care how much offense you got to have some defensive stops somewhere if you're going to win the game. And that's how Indiana won tonight. They executed, and when it was all said and done, they made the steals, transition points, and then when they couldn't get the rebound, they made dagger shots, one from the wing for Oladipo and the other one in the corner. Final thoughts. We'll go with Mr. Live and then go to Chandler. Mr. Live, give us the final thoughts on this game. The Knicks lose to the Pacers. If I had to go back, Mr. Live, to last Friday's game, the Golden State game to me was kind of like, to me, the Knicks didn't even play well. I just think Golden State just didn't feel like playing until the fourth quarter. I never seen Golden State play that poor with this lineup or that their Hampton Five guys. They just looked. They didn't feel like they were waiting to go to the club Friday, Saturday, then play Brooklyn on Sunday. So I kind of throw that game away. I thought they played well versus Brooklyn. The effort was there versus Brooklyn. They outscored them. They out-hustled them. But tonight tonight was one of those back and forth games. I'm not too mad. Just a couple of coaching blips here and there that kind of, and then defensive, mental lapse from the team. A whole lot better a week later since Miami. But Mr. Lai, if you could give us your final thoughts and if you incorporate how you thought about the Golden State game, the Brooklyn game tonight as well. And then we're also moving on. Then we'll go down to Chandler. We'll get Dre in and, of course, Av on his final thoughts. Mr. Lai, go ahead. Fire away, man.
Right. Well, to tell you the truth, Steve, I'm being critical of this game because of the last three, going back to Golden State. Tim Hardaway said it best, no such thing as moral victory. So, if you go back to that game, man, it's, you know what I'm saying, like that game, basketball, the Golden State Warriors played down to their competition. You know what I'm saying? Not aside from the fact that Klay Thompson was still in a slump. You know, you see the game. Maybe that might have been the game right after, or another game where he scored 50. He hit 10 threes. So, we played in that game. I don't want to take nothing away from the Knicks, but again, man, when you look at the caliber of that situation, everybody was all in an uproar because French scored 15 points. But look at the rest of his stats. That was garbage. He did nothing to make the team better. And it's just kind of the same way with this game where, it's what did you do to enhance the team and to make it better in your position? You was out there. You probably got 30-plus minutes. You got some close to the basket assists, which I like. I love that because that means he's penetrating and everything. So he's picking it up little by little, but for the most part, it wasn't enough to stop, the pick-and-roll defense. So, again, my thing is, what do we do? I have a big question mark as to, if Fizz's mantra is defense, and going by his words, oh, we're not tanking, we winning, da da da. I'm trying, but you can't do that trying to see a lineup. See that lineup in practice. I don't even understand that so far because it's like he's doing all of this experimental stuff with games that count. You know what I'm saying? Like I understand you might not, but you getting plenty opportunity to practice right now. It ain't nothing. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. It ain't a whole bunch of stuff in your plate. you know, work that out in practice. Play your best 8-9 players, maybe even, you know what I'm saying, go up to 10, and let's do that. He's not doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like Trier was 6 for 7 points tonight, and he only played about 16, 17 minutes a game. You know what I'm saying? And our problem, you know what I'm saying, tonight, truthfully, was lack of production. Okay, we don't have a low post game that we can go to that's effective except for Canter. And so I think it was Av, you know what I'm saying? I think it might have been Av or Chow, I'm sorry. I don't want to mix that quote up, but you know, he's a liability. You can't keep Canter in there without losing something on the other end. And to your point, Steve, you know, defense is going to win games. I believe that. I'm a Riley Nick. You know, I believe that if you can't score, you're not going to win that game. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, my thing, I have a big question mark as to what's the defensive philosophy behind this team. And going forward, you know, I think everything should be done to obtain a point guard. I believe. You know, Perry get a minus point for that Alfred Payton miss. You know what I'm saying? Alfred Payton would have been way better than Moutier right at the – and I thought that anyway. I thought Alfred Payton was a better situation than Moutier. I thought Alfred Payton just couldn't shoot. But, goddamn, like he's giving them about 5 or 6 assists a game. Like, good. And he's hitting some shots. So, I'm like, you know, the big question mark for me is, what are you doing? That's it. That, let's leave it at that. And, you know, hopefully the members can answer that or give me a clue of that. It's like, Fizz, what are you doing? Because, you know, we already know what the players can do. So, like, Fizz, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was you making bad calls, baby. So, you know, but, Joe, you know what I'm saying? Good looking at everybody, man. You know, again, man, I get to relieve, you know what I'm saying, all my stress with cats that actually know what they're talking about when it's come down to this ball. So, man, thank y'all, man.
Yeah, man, free therapy on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Mr. Lai, thank you very much for your opinion and your thoughts. Knight Chandler 7, Chandler Knight on Instagram, your final thoughts, sir. And then we'll squeeze in Dre a little bit real quick and get his final thoughts after that. But Chandler, you first, your final thoughts on this game, on this roster and going forward, anything around the season as well from you, Chandler.
For me, I'm done with Mario Hezonja because he's refusing to shoot the ball. We didn't bring him here to be a point guard. So if he don't want to shoot the ball, he needs to go. I'm done with him, and I know it's only 8 games in. I'm done with him because he just refuses to shoot the damn ball. I ain't got time for that. Other than that, I mean, the roster is limited. We all knew that. Fizz has to decide what he's going to do with Trey Burke. If you're not going to play this young man, then move him somewhere. But you're wasting a roster spot because you have a guy who can score, and you're refusing to play him. And Mitchell Robinson didn't play 1 minute in the fourth quarter, which absolutely make no sense. So Fizdale needs to – he's got to prove something to me with the coaching. And you know what? Derrick Rose got 50 points tonight, man. So congratulations to him because that's the dude that I kind of root for. I'm happy for him that he's – that, you know, he had a little flash of what his career could have been. But I think we're going to see a lot of games like this for us where it's going to come down to we just don't have enough scoring.
All right, Knight Chandler 7. Chandler Knight, thank you very much, man. Your final thoughts as well on the Knicks, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Hey, Dre, real quick, give us your quick thoughts because we're out of time. Dre, give us your thoughts on the game and who you like, you dislike, and then we'll move on to Knickerbocker Avenue. Go ahead, Dre, real quick, what's your thoughts on the players, man? We'll squeeze you in.
Man, all I got to say is this Canter just got bullied by Sabonis. You can't even say the Knicks blew that game. It was just no paint protection. They didn't play Robinson. I'm a big fan of Noah Vonleh now. I admire his effort. Frank, he's still coming along. And Dawson, he just, like I said, just got to go ahead and put him in. It's going to be some games like this, but it's all in the process.
Shout out to Dre, man. Little Dre to the Rack on Instagram joining the dialogue. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Av, your final thoughts, man, and if any, you got any news and announcements as well. Let us know what's your thoughts, and then we'll wrap up.
No news. You know, just if anything, just go to theomnifan.com for any new news on events, videos, and of course, follow them on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. My final thought is that, you know, if you look at the stat sheet tonight, the Knicks were destroyed in just about almost every statistical category, yet they were in this game. And if Fizdale made some key substitutions and dictated this game better, and instead of just keep continuing to give us lip service, so that way I stop believing what Mr. Lodge said today and last week, but the tank is on, maybe this would be a different conversation, and maybe, you know, we'd be talking about a solid victory instead of just another quote-unquote moral loss. The fast break points, 8-3, 17 turnovers led to 20 points. There's the victory right there. And, you know, just the points in the paint, the Pacers lapped us, 64-32. And that stems from a lack of doing exactly the same thing that we're talking about, establishing some kind of a post presence. And you have two or three guys that are perfectly capable of doing that. You have Enes Kanter, who, you know, offensively, you know, he's a good garbage man, but, I mean, you can utilize him as a decoy of some sort. You can use Noah Vonleh. You have Mitchell Robinson. And, you know, if you're not going to play Trey Burke, then, I don't know, then, you know, until Mudiay gets back, give Luke Kornet some of those minutes. He hasn't seen the basketball court in a week. How about giving him some minutes? How about, you know, utilizing the talent that you do have instead of giving all these crazy minutes, you know, to your starting rotation? I mean, for Christ's sake, you're talking about Vonleh had 33, Robinson only had 18, which is astonishing considering that was just pointed out he didn't play a lick in the fourth quarter. Neal Akina had 33 minutes. Dotson had 32. Hardaway had 38. Trier had 23. Kanter only had 21. I mean, you can, you know, utilize your lineup. I mean, it's still early in the season. I mean, I'm glad that he has somewhat of a rotation, but Mario Hezonja, I mean, 13 minutes, 1-for-5 shooting, 7 rebounds, and 3 points is not getting it done. If that's the kind of production you're going to get from him, and you're not going to, you know, utilize him for what he's really meant for, was to shoot the ball, rebound the ball, and get it out of his hands other than to score it, why not, you know, dabble with a Luke Kornet? I mean, he fits more of the mold of the style of play that the Knicks have been playing anyway. But, hey, you know, it is, you know, aside from everything, it was a good game. The Knicks did fight. Another one of those blunder woes where it cost us a victory, and you know, we're on to the next game. And just like the guy said, you know, we have practice time, you know, before Friday night. So, you know, go to the video room tomorrow morning, look at all the mistakes that they made. I hope that Fizdale and the coaching staff point out that Vonleh and Hardaway did have an opportunity to secure that rebound before it got to Oladipo's hands. And, you know, and point out some of the, you know, defensive lapses in the game, because those are the things that we've been fed in lip service. Defense, up and down tempo, this, that, and the third. And tonight you didn't see that at all, because he was reacting instead of being proactive. Instead of turning this team into, you know, it's something of an identity, all we know is that this team is reacting to whatever the opposition is giving us. And yes, I get it. It is still early in the season, but these losses are starting to rack up. And if you guys were all, if anybody out there, any Knick fan that had delusions of a playoff spot, or, you know, winning, you know, 7 of the next 9, or, you know, 7 of the next 15 games, because you're like, oh, well, this, you know, Dallas is winnable, Chicago's winnable. Well, guess what? This is why I look into the directly in the face and say, I'm not going to go with that. I think that you know, that could be a possible loss, because the Knicks lack execution. And really, the biggest thing, you know, since it's becoming the fact that we don't have a point guard who can lead this team and really, you know, utilize all of his weapons, it starts with leadership. And I'm directly at David Fizdale. Enough lip service. Start executing. Listen to, you know, watch the games and actually start utilizing that time to correct a lot of the mistakes that are happening so that way these close losses can start turning out into victories. That's all I have to say. Nick Bakayev on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Signing out. Sangat Asul all day, every day. Bleed Blue Show all day. Out.
Shout out to Knickerbocker Avenue, man, for Dre, Mr. Live, Chandler, and Av. I'll say this. Good game. Some execution down the stretch was pretty poor. And I think that could be corrected. And as far as playing with more of a full deck, I think I want to reserve my full evaluation on this head coach. I want to see with most of our pieces back. So I got to see when Kevin Knox gets back, whenever he does. And real quick, if you could quickly chime in, what's the status on Kevin Knox? When is he expected to come back, if you know? I don't know that answer, but do you know?
From what I understand, he is practicing already, and he should be back, if not by the beginning of next week, then probably I would say I got to look at the schedule, but he should be back within the next week or so because he is practicing. He is, you know, doing he is running sprints with the team and he's doing a lot of those stuff. But aside from that, I mean, me personally, if I evaluate him, he should be ready by some point next week. But
so if he's also, okay, all right, cool. Thank you on that. So let's say he's back by next week. I'll give him a week or maybe up to two after that to get his legs under him. So my whole point of saying is I want to really evaluate this team when we have more of a dimension, bringing that dimension to the table. He's not bringing the defense to the table, but offensively going to the rim, being in attack mode. I would like to see him get comfortable within the system that he's running, what this team is running. So we'll reevaluate this back next Wednesday, and we'll get our thoughts on, you know, Golden State, Brooklyn, and Indiana. I give it a grade about a C plus, about a C plus, B minus. You know, they kind of entertain us with Golden State, like Mr. Lai said it perfectly. They played down to the competition. Never seen Golden State play like that in a long time. And then they did exactly to Brooklyn what they should have done. So I give that an A performance. And tonight was about a B minus maybe. You know, they played well. It's just when it came down to it, defensive stops always is going to win in this league. And that's no different than it was tonight with Victor Oladipo. As great as Hardaway Jr. played, he got outplayed in the last couple of minutes. And then, of course, the head coach got outcoached. Indiana played Indiana basketball. They rolled the pick and roll to a T. The Knicks did. They chose not to stop it, and the coach Denver made the adjustments to it. So I'd like to see those adjustments made. So we'll be back next Wednesday. This episode, of course, you could download them on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your smartphone apps. And, of course, you could go right to bleedblueshow.com. All the episodes for all the shows, all the podcasts, stream right there from your phone, and you can download the episodes from BleedBlueShow.com as well. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, Knicks lose to the Pacers. Sangre Asu, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue.